Tonight is my, you know, the last, I took these three Wednesday nights in January to talk about healing in the gospel. So actually, I didn't do all of them. I just did three of the ones that I preach about a lot. The woman with issue of blood, blind Bartimaeus. And tonight, the man that was brought by the other guys. And, the paralyzed guy. And I think it'll help us to understand something. Now, I usually preach these, but if you've noticed these last few Wednesday nights, I've tried to do a little more teaching, in-depth teaching in them to see what we can find. And, God wants his people to be healed. And all we have to do is look at Jesus in the New Testament and see how he demonstrated the love, the compassion, the kindness toward people. And that's our God, you know. And, of course, we're going to go to Luke 5. When you already, I figured most of you knew that. Luke 5, 17. Now, it happened on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by who had come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Now you underline that. Then behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him. And when they could not find how to bring him in because of the crowd, they went on the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling into the midst of before Jesus. When he saw their faith, he said, "Man, your sins are forgiven you." And the scribes and Pharisees began to reason and say, "Who is this that speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God?" But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said to them, "Why are you reasoning in your heart? Which is easier, to say, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Rise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power to forgive sins," he said to the man paralyzed, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." Immediately he rose up before them and took up what he had been lying on and departed to his own house. Now, there's several things I'm going to look at here tonight and maybe help you understand this scripture a little better. Now, the healing power was present to heal them because Jesus was there. And you see, the healing power is present everywhere now. We'll get to that in a minute. But many people, they read the scripture sometimes and get the idea that there has to be a special manifestation, a special move. But that was only, you see, if you read there in the Gospels, the only place they got healed is where Jesus was, right? And until when in the four Gospels. Now we get on over into Acts and in the Pauline epistles and so forth, you see people being healed under other ministries. But in the Gospels, it was there. You see, after Jesus went back to heaven, then what he accomplished on Calvary for salvation and healing. Now, I want you to notice here that there is a special anointing for healing. And see, anybody can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That's what the Word of God says, right? You read that? Yeah. But there are, according to 1 Corinthians 12, there are special manifestations of through certain ministries. Now, so we don't want to minimize that at all. But what I want to try to get across to you is that you yourself can receive healing by praying for yourself or praying for somebody else without going to any server. You can do it in your house. How many understand what I'm trying to say to you? That I want to get across. See, so many people think we got to come to a healing service, and we'll pray for sick again tonight like we have the other Wednesday nights. But you don't have to have a special service. It says here, you know, as we begin to look at this, now it happened on a certain day, as he was teaching, there were Pharisees and teachers, and they were sitting by, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Everybody that was there, the power of the Lord was present to heal everybody that was there. But did all get healed? No. So where is the connection between the power and the healing? Well, as we have seen in the other lessons, the connection is faith, and we'll get to that in a minute. You see, that's the way you receive healing. At home, if you're sick, you don't have to wait till you get to church. You pray for yourself. You know, in fact, my dad used to say, learn to pray for yourself. He used to tell me all the time, he said, son, learn to pray for yourself. He said, you love yourself better than anybody else. And some of you that have sat under his ministry have heard him say that very thing. Hey, now, people say, oh, well, we're going to have special healing service. And that's great. There's nothing wrong with that. But that sometimes gives the idea that you have to have a special manifestation for healing. Well, you know what? You receive salvation the same way you receive healing. You didn't have to have no special manifestation or special service to receive salvation. How many of you received salvation and you wasn't in a church? See, lots of people. Wasn't no special service going on or nothing. But why then do we think that we have to have a special service? If somebody want to get saved, you're talking to them, they say, I want them to find Christ. Well, you don't tell them, okay, and now we'll go to church and there'll be a special invitation and you can go down and receive Christ. No, you tell them right now, yeah, you can believe and receive right now. Amen. So it's the same with healing. You know, we need to get our head on straight, I say sometimes. The power of the Lord is present to heal all of the time, everywhere. All right? You know, now, it says that these Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting by, who had come out of every town in Galilee and Judea. Now, I don't know what they'd come there for, because why would they evidently they're trying to catch Jesus in something, I guess. That's what they were always trying to do. But they received nothing. Now, the extent of your receiving from God depends on your faith. Depends on believing. The power was present, but it had no effect, except on one guy. One guy. Now, it says, behold, men brought on a bed a man. You know, we have characterized this, and I've done it myself, as four guys. It just says men. There may have been more than four. I don't know. I always characterize it four because they're carrying him on some kind of cot. And if you're carrying a stretcher, usually the ones we used to in the military, how many of you, I don't know what they do now, but how many of you is in the military back in the 60s and so forth and so on? We had stretchers, and they showed us that it took four of us to carry it, usually. Sometimes it took two of us could do it, depending on the size of the guy. But it says men. I don't know how many brought him. Could have been several. Could have been four. Could have been two, I guess. I don't know. Brought a paralyzed man. Now, they couldn't get in the house. It was full. Now, it says that they went up on the roof. Now, here it says they let him down through the tiling. Well, there was two kinds of roof that they used back in those days. One was a roof that had a slight tilt to it. It was flat like all the others. The beams were close together, and they were filled with twigs and straw and compacted together with some sort of mortar. And then it was like a clay soil put over them. And of course, that'd been easy to tear up. But it said tiles here. Now, there was another way that some of the houses were built, and they had tiles that they made a flat roof out of. And it was easy to take those up, too. So I don't know exactly what type of roof it was, but it wasn't the kind of roofs that we're used to, okay? It wasn't, I mean, you go over there in the administration building on the corner, that's a flat roof. RMAI down there, that's a flat roof. Well, I'm going to tell you what, even though it's a flat roof, you're going to have trouble tearing through it, I can tell you that. In fact, when you do finally get the tire and the gravel and all that's up there off, then you're going to run into a metal plate up there, and you're going to have a metal saw or a cutting torch, one, to cut through that stuff. Or if you're on a, you know, a house, you tear all the shingles off, and then you have to go down through the attic, and then you have to get to another ceiling and tear it up. But see, some people, they don't, you need to, sometimes when you read the Word of God, you need to go study some of the historical parts. Go get books, and I used to have to do it books, to go to the library. Now y'all can do it on the internet. And it tells you about the different houses that they had. So there they were. Now, that's a desperate move. That's a desperate move. You know, but I tell you what, to get what you want from God, sometimes you got to be desperate. You have to just dig your heels in the ground. Now, look, he was teaching. Jesus was teaching in there. So they interrupted him. Now, that wasn't religious protocol. They didn't follow the normal ritual and the way you're supposed to do things. They wanted to get the man to Jesus because he wanted to be healed, and they wanted him to be healed, and they wanted to get him to Jesus, and that's the only way they could figure out to do it. So that's what they did. All right. Now, it seems that this was an extreme measure. And actually, the paralyzed man, I think it would be extreme for him to allow them to do this in the first place. There's not too many paralyzed people on a stretcher that's going to let you go up, take you up on top of a house and let you down. But that's what they did. Now, as we begin to look at all this, we begin to see something he said here. Jesus, he stopped his teaching. And he said, when he saw their faith. Their. Not just the man. Their faith. Though the men that took him up on the housetop, they had to believe too, or they're not going to take him up there. When he saw their faith. Now, with the woman with the issue of blood, Jesus said to her, your faith has made you whole. Blind Bartimaeus, go back there, said, your faith has made you whole. But I want you to notice here, when he saw their faith, this was a group of people that had faith. Some of you look at me sort of funny. Well, you probably never thought about it that way. I hadn't either until recently. I'd read it, and I always had zeroed in on the man. But it said when he saw their faith. So that means if somebody asked you and you're like this man, you got a part in them receiving because you joined your faith with their faith. It said when he saw their faith. Come on now. It's funny to look at some of your faces up here. You're sort of doing a double take because that's probably the first time you ever heard anybody talk about it just exactly like that. Because I never have heard anybody talk about it like that myself. Maybe they have, but I hadn't heard it. Okay. So it says here, now, there's some more interesting things here that I want you to see. And people may not understand this. man, your sins be forgiven you. Now, I want you to notice that as we begin to look at this, we begin to see that when he said this, there was an outcry. Well, there may have been some reasons for this. We've got to remember that as you study the Jewish mind back then and study about some things and study their law and so forth, they would equate anybody that was suffering, they would equate that with sin in their life. That was one of the things they would do. And in fact, that old tradition got carried over into some of the Pentecostal movements. If somebody was suffering, they must be sin in their life. Actually, that comes from all the way back under the law in the Jewish law that they lived under. And so one of the reasons you see Jesus saying this is what some of the theologians say, and it stands to reason. One of the reasons you see him saying that is because he wanted them to realize, okay, I'm going to heal this guy, but I'm going to get this out. I'm going to get this idea out. I'm going to take care of this. I'm going to tell him his sins. How many understand what I'm saying to you? Hello. Now, he said that, but then as we begin to look at that a little closer, these doctors of the law, because that's who was in there, the Pharisees and scribes, the law doctors and writers of the law, and they immediately begin to say, well, he's blaspheming. And when he perceives their thoughts, and he made a statement, which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or rise up and walk. There, you begin to see that he is saying it's just as easy to get sins forgiven as it is to get healed. It's done in the same way. How many understand what I'm saying to you? I know this may be this a little different, but it's my teaching, okay? And here we see that as faith was exercised, it set that group, it set them apart from the rest of the crowd. You know, when you start exercising your faith and believing God, it's going to set you apart from some of the people that you've grown up with, that you've gone to church with. Now, this doesn't mean they're not saved. They just don't know how to believe God. I mean, you know, now I am the son of the man that he hated it. He didn't like it. And if somebody said it when he in his presence, he would put them down, tell them, no, I'm just preaching about of the man that they say was the father of the modern day faith message. And to one extent, that is the truth, because the church had gotten to the point that they ascribed to believe in God, but people weren't doing it, especially in the Pentecostal circles where we were at. They were always saying, well, and in the Baptists it was, well, if it's God, now healing is in the Bible, we believe, but if it's God's will. The Pentecostals, they didn't, sometimes I wonder if they really knew what they believed. Somebody say, well, you're sort of being mean. Hey, I can say it. I grew up there. I'm old enough to say it. I'm like my father-in-law, Brother V.E. Tipton. Some of y'all knew him. He came up here and worked with us for several years and did some teaching in the school and stuff. How many of you are here that knew Brother Tipton? I remember he told me, he said, He said, son, you'll get to the age one of these days you can say whatever you want to and nobody can come against you because you're older than all of them there. That's almost the case in this building tonight, I think. But no, really, and whenever Dad started teaching faith, September there, 1950, about September 2nd, I believe it was, 1950, under that tent in Rockwall, Texas, when he said, go teach my people faith, he started. And it set him apart. Many of his preacher friends pushed him aside, wouldn't have nothing to do with him. Others had him in their church preaching, and they had results. And the other guys would say, "Well, we can't understand it. That's neither here nor there." But what I want you to realize, when you really start putting your faith in God and setting yourself to believe God, you're going to set yourself apart from some people, and there's going to be some criticism, and there's going to be some people that are criticizing you. But you're going to have to make up your mind whether you're going to believe God or give in to the criticism. That's the way it is. Been there. You know, some people that may have been your good friend, they may go by the wayside. You know. When I was started Rhema, I had September 1974, I started Rhema. Dad told me to start it. He said, we're going to do it. And he said, you do it. He said, we're going to have a Bible school. And then he turned to me and said, you do it. So I was 35 years old. I never put together a Bible school. Hello. Actually, I'd had to drop out of college, Bible college, to go to the Army. It wasn't until 1987 I finally finished my degree at ORU. But I sat down and I said, as I sat down there, I said, "All right, Lord, what are we going to do here?" And so I came up with the first set a curriculum, and then through the years we've changed it, because as you go through things change and people change. And our first group that we were coming was most of the people in those first years, up until the first last part of the 70s and up through about 83 or 4 or so, most of our students was married with families and changing careers. Jim Andrews was one of them, sitting right there. He's getting ready. He's over Rhema, Peru. They're getting ready to teach in the school starting next term. But now we got a younger crowd, so we've changed some things. But what I'm going to say, it's when you start down this road believing God, it's going to set you apart from others. Did you find that out, Brother Jim? They saw her. Don't want to have nothing to do with you no more. But the amazing thing is, when they really get in trouble, they call you to pray for them. I've never figured that one out. Well, Hagen, we don't know what, you know, there's some of the people I went to school with. Hagen, you know, if I go anywhere around my hometown and they call me Hagen, I know that if people I went to school with, okay, if somebody calls me Kenneth Wayne, I know it was somebody, it was either family or somebody that was around all the time that was like family. Any of y'all ever have any friends like that would stay around all the time and they almost was part of the family? And if I go around and they holler Hagen, well, I know I went to school with them. You know, that's what I've been called all the way through college. So now, as you start teaching and preaching on faith, believing God to receive healing, they start to turn their nose up at you, but they get sick and they call you to pray for them, thinking that you can't do it. I mean, they're going to have to learn how to believe God. So learn to take criticism, what I'm saying, but believe God. Now, we dealt with the fact there that I think one of the reasons, and you can read different scholars, and they have different ideas, but one of the predominant ideas of the reason that he said your sins be forgiven you, because it was a prominent idea in their Jewish mind that there was sin involved if they were sick. And he said that before he ever told him to take up his bed and walk. Okay. Now, somebody probably never heard that talk like that. But anyway, that's true. Now, here, I see another point in this. He said, which is easier, your sins be forgiven you, or rise and be healed. I see a point here that... the same power of God that forgives is the same power of God that heals. And the same power that makes you a new creature in Christ is the same power that makes you whole when you're sick. So, somebody said, well, where are you getting that from? Well, just from reading the Word of God and putting stuff together, I don't have any theological books or anything that can say that. I just began to look at that myself and began to see you get healing, you get salvation this way and get healing. And Jesus said, which is easier, say this or this. Hello. And you get them the same way, by faith. Doesn't it say that you're saved by faith and that not of yourself? Amen. Okay. So We believe to receive healing then as readily, we should believe to receive healing then as readily as we believe for salvation. I see that's what God was trying to get across there. He told him to take up his bed and walk. He arose and did that. Now, you see, you have to believe that the power of God is present to heal, just like you believe that the power of God is present for salvation. You know, you have to exercise your faith and rise up into healing. Now, we have talked about this for just a few moments. It's not rocket science. I haven't done, it's not a big theological discourse. I simply just sort of went down through the scriptures and sort of just wanted you to look at this and get you to thinking. You see, you need to, instead of waiting for somebody to tell you everything in a message should be, especially these types on Wednesday night that I do here, are messages to get you to thinking in line with the Word of God, and then the Spirit of God can begin to witness to your heart. Hello. You see, And in the generation that we're living in now, everybody wants you to tell them 1, 2, 3, 4. Hey, they ask me, okay, what are the 5 steps for a successful church? I said, there's not any. Oh, yes, there are. All these people have got them. Yeah, they got them, but half of them don't work. The 5 successful steps for our church is for the pastor to pray, get the vision for the church, preach the vision to the people, and then walk out the vision. Hello. I'm getting off on Sunday morning. See, Wednesday's my study day. And I get my Wednesday night sermon, and then I get my study and do my Sunday sermon. And sometimes I start getting them running together. You ever do that, Brother Jim? Because when you have all the other duties, teaching in the school, running the ministry and everything, then I take Wednesday. If I don't have to teach, I don't even come. I don't even come on the campus till time to get ready to preach. You know, And I don't know why I said that, but that's why. So I said it because I said I was getting bored. I got some of him. I'm talking on vision Sunday morning. You want to be here. It's going to be good. So you don't want to miss it. My dad says if you miss it, you miss half your life. That's what Dad used to say it all the time. And I see a bunch of people laughing because they know he did. But did anybody get anything out of this today? Did it open up some new thinking and some new ways of seeing some things about healing? Hello? You see, the power of the Lord is present to heal. It was present to heal them. One got healed, and it said it was because of their faith. The woman with the issue of blood. Now, this is the last series. That's what I'm going to do in this. I just did it these three this month. The woman with the issue of blood, as far as I know, she's the only one that got healed in that whole crowd. They didn't have any other record. Anybody else getting healed? As far as I know, the crowd walking with Jesus out of Jericho, blind Bartimaeus is the only one that got healed. And all three of those, it said, their faith, blind, one with your blood, your faith made you whole. Even though he said power went out of him. Blind Bartimaeus, he said, your faith made you whole. Here, the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Only him got healed. And he said, when he saw their faith. If you need healing in this place tonight, and you have faith to receive, I want you to stand on your feet and get down here right now. If you want healing, stand on your feet and get down here right now. If you want healing, hallelujah. We've had, this is be the third healing service, so we might have got most of them. Praise the Lord. Amen. Come on down. Everybody else stand up. Everybody else stand up. Praise the Lord. The healing power of God is present right now. I can't heal you. Nobody else in this room can heal you. But if you will join your faith and activate the power of God, that's what activates that healing power, is your faith, you'll receive tonight. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory, 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 glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Reach your hands out toward him as I pray, saying, receive your healing right now in the name of Jesus. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Be healed in Jesus' name. Receive in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, this leg will mend quickly and properly in the name of Jesus. Be healed. Be healed. Be healed in Jesus' name. Be healed. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Healing is here.
Thank you, Lord. Healing's here.
Healing is here. In this very
receive
room
healing
tonight,
right now in the name of Jesus.
Healing
receive healing right now in the name of Jesus.
Say, I receive,
receive healing
it.
Right now in the name of
Jesus. I receive it.
Somebody said, well, why did some of them fall and some of them fall backwards? Well, when the supernatural comes in contact with the natural, something's got to give. And I have found that many times the people with stronger faith, the power is stronger. It draws it stronger. Yes, I don't know why. I've seen that over the years. I can't explain it. Don't ask me to. I don't know. I've just watched it. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. God is good, isn't he? Amen and amen and amen. Remember all of the announcements. Sunday morning right here. We'll be here at 10 o'clock. Okay. If you're watching, the Lord just said to me, pray for people that are watching. If you're watching on the internet or on the Facebook Live, Reach your hand out toward your screen. This congregation is reaching hands out. I'm reaching my hand out. There's no doubt the power of the Lord is present there to heal, just like he is here, like he was in that room. Power's there. Heavenly Father, I thank you right now. Every individual that's watching that needs healing right now, I thank you that healing power is flowing into them. There it is. Take it. Receive it. There it is. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God is good. Amen and amen. Hey, there'll be an address on there that you can write us a testimony. Okay, if you were down here in this line and you can check whatever it is that you were down here for and you're healed right now, you can check it. Wave at me. Let me see your hands. Where are you at? Let me see your hands. Yeah, we've had them every time. There's some hands over here. Praise the Lord. How many of you can check and you are a whole lot better? Let me see your hand. You can feel, you know you're better. You see, the Word of God says some were healed instantly, some began to mend from that hour, and some were healed as they went. Keep the switch of faith turned on. Keep saying the healing power of God's working in my body to affect the healing and a cure. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hey, go find a first-time guest. Take them to get their special gift. And if you're looking for a church home, what do we say, church? Welcome home. Come on and join us. We have a great time serving God around here. Amen. You see, the prayer workers coming, the ladies here and the men on this side. If you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, well, you need to know him so you can get in and enjoy all the benefits that we've been talking about. If you know what it is to serve Christ, but you know you're not where you're supposed to be, come down here and pray with these people, rededicate yourself, and get straightened back out, okay? If you need prayer to receive the Holy Spirit, or you need prayer, somebody agree with you for any reason whatsoever, as we're dismissed, come to the front. They'll pray with you, and you won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name. God bless you. Hey, we'll see you Sunday morning right here at 10 o'clock. God bless. If you need prayer, come to the front right now. If you need prayer for any reason whatsoever, come to the front now.